Invite you to remain standing for our scripture reading, which comes this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 27 through 33. It reads this: "The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's house, and they gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a red military coat on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a stick in his right hand, and they bowed down in front of him and mocked him, saying, 'Hey, King of the Jews!' After they spit on him, they took the stick and struck his head again and again. When they finished mocking him, they stripped him of the military coat and put his own clothes back on him. They led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they found Simon, a man from Cyrene. They forced him to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means skull." This morning we're observing the sixth Sunday of Lent. And so as part of our sermon series during this season of Lent, we've been looking at the story of the betrayal, the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, and even a snapshot of one of the characters from the resurrection story of Jesus. Instead of looking at just the experience of Jesus in this story, we've been spending time looking at a few of the individuals who had minor roles, if we think about them in terms of the story in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're individuals that may have had only a few verses of Scripture dedicated to them. However, while they're minor players, they play major parts, if you think about it. When it comes to living out and fulfilling God's plan, when it came to Jesus Christ taking upon Himself the sin of the world. And so this morning, I hope our character can help us think, but through their experience, how we consider how their life was changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the encounter that they had with Him, and the role that they ended up playing in the story. And so this morning I'd invite you to spend some time thinking with me about a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, according to Matthew's gospel. Simon of Cyrene seems almost the most unlikely participant in the events that led up to the crucifixion of Jesus. And so this morning we're going to think about him and his experience. I think it's interesting to begin this morning by first saying that Simon of Cyrene is listed in three of the Gospels, but not the fourth. And so we read of him in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, but in John's Gospel it tells us nothing about him. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us something about how he was seized out of the crowd by the Roman soldiers, and about how the cross of Jesus, or the portion of the cross that he carried, was pressed upon him. Not by his choice or his volunteering, but simply because the Roman soldier used his legal authority to just grab him and have him do what he needed to do, which was get the cross of Jesus to Golgotha so that Jesus could be crucified, so that he could be dead in time for the Passover to begin. See, John's Gospel tells us nothing about Simon. Instead, what John tells us is that Jesus carried his own cross to Golgotha. And so we may ask, why? Why the difference? I think what we have to remember is each of these gospel writers are writing to us, to a certain group of people that they feel needed to hear the message of Jesus Christ and the gospel in a certain way. And so John wants us to see the kingship of Jesus, and John wants us to see that it's God's glory being lived out and manifest in what Jesus is doing. And so John has Jesus carrying it himself, where Matthew, Mark, and Luke each have different reasons they want us to see who Jesus was. If you remember with me, Matthew's written to a Jewish audience, a people who are familiar with the Torah and with the Old Testament. And for them, Matthew is saying, this is the Messiah, this is the one. Luke's writing to a group of people who most likely were Gentiles. And so Luke is writing to a group of people that don't have the background in the Old Testament. And so he wants them to see Jesus as the Messiah, but in a different approach. If we could read the story, and often when we read it and talk about the story, often what we do is we lump the four Gospels together, don't we? And so we say that Jesus carried the cross from where it was put upon him, and at some point he fell. And then that's when the Roman soldier grabbed Simon of Cyrene, placed the cross on his shoulders, or had him pick it up, whichever you think it was, and then carry it the rest of the way to Golgotha. I want to begin this morning by talking a little bit about who Simon was. See, what Mark's gospel tells us is this, and this is from Mark chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. Mark writes this. He says, "A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him, they being the Romans, to carry the cross." As you can see from the map, Cyrene is the red triangle to the right. It's in northern Africa. It's part of modern-day Libya. Cyrene, at the time, was a chief administrative Roman city in the region and was originally founded as a Greek colony as part of the empire of Alexander the Great. So this is a fairly old city, although not as old as others in those times. Following Alexander the Great's death, if you'll remember with me, there was a civil war, and the Ptolemies took over and ruled the area from Egypt. And it was during this time that historians say many Jews went from Egypt because there was a large Jewish community in Egypt and Alexandria, and they went to Cyrene. And so in the first century, Cyrene became this major city for the Romans when they took over and the empire continued to grow. And so what we think about Cyrene is that he was either likely a convert to Judaism, so he may have been a native from North Africa who converted to Judaism, or a descendant of one of the Jews that immigrated from Egypt to the land. What Mark's gospel tells us is this, is that he came in from the country to celebrate the Passover. Mark's gospel also tells us that he had his two sons with him who were named Rufus and Alexander who were with him. We don't know why else he was there. It was expensive to make the trip from Cyrene all the way over here to Jerusalem. You know, over land, that is a very expensive and long and costly journey. Over the sea, you can imagine it would be the same. So it could be that he was a traitor. It could be that he had just come as a pilgrim. What I'm saying is we don't know. But what we do know about him is that he became an unlikely participant in the passion story, in the life, and in the death of Jesus Christ. Matthew's gospel tells us this about him, is that after Jesus had appeared before Pilate and the crowds called for him to be crucified, Jesus was taken back to the praetorium, which was an administrative seat, and that's where he was stripped and beaten, and the crown of thorns was placed on his head, and they put the robe on him, and they worshipped him, the soldiers did, and then they took the robe off of him and dressed him back in his clothes, and then that's when he took the journey, the Via Dolorosa, there in Jerusalem. And so from the praetorium, Jesus was to carry the cross. Is that the next slide? I'm sorry. Oh, okay, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. What historians have discovered, though, contrary to what we see in artwork, is that usually the Romans didn't make the condemned carry the entire cross. I read somewhere the entire cross would weigh over 400 pounds. And I don't know about you, but that's pretty heavy. But they did carry the crossbeam, which was called the patibulum. And so once the condemned would reach the place, you can see this man. This is Jesus who's fallen, and then Simon is being picking it up, and the Roman soldier is pushed it upon him. The patibulum is the crossbeam, and so once they reach the site of crucifixion, the vertical piece is already in the ground, and they would tie or nail the arms of the condemned to the patibulum, and then it would be hung on the vertical pole, called the stipes or the staticulum, which you'll see on the next slide in a minute. The vertical beam was secured. What is Israel like? Especially around Jerusalem, it's not a lot of soft sand. It's stone. It's mountain. It's rock. And so instead of digging a new hole, every time they put a new crucified person up, they reused this pole, they reused this wood, they reused this place. And so Simon of Cyrene was part of this. Simon, who I think, if he truly came from the countryside, he didn't know what was going on. See, my guess is he came to Jerusalem for the Passover and he had his sons with him, and so they were walking that day and they were thinking what was to be done because the Passover was about to start. What did they need to do to prepare? What did they need to purchase? What did they need to have to make sure that they could celebrate the Passover in the way that the Scriptures tell them that they are going to? Simon's likely thinking of what he was to do in Jerusalem. If he's there for trade, what the deals are that he's working on, or the one that he has just completed. And they're walking, and then all of a sudden they become part of a crowd that they don't expect to be a part of, that they have not planned or intended to be a part of, and then a Roman soldier grabs him. And it presses the cross of Jesus upon him. See, what we don't know in the Scripture is that what happened when they reached Golgotha. I mean, we know what happens to Jesus. We know that he is crucified. We know that the soldiers cast lots for his clothing. We know that they pierced his side and broke the legs of the other two who had been crucified next to him. But what we don't know is what happened to Simon of Cyrene. Once he reached that place, once he reached that destination, we don't know if he set the patibulum down and if he watched the soldiers crucify Jesus along those other criminals. We don't know if he quickly stepped away and returned the way he came to find his two sons. That's what I would have done, right? I got to be done with this and I got to go find my girls. Or maybe they followed. We don't know if he went back to conducting business. We don't even know if he knew whose cross he was carrying until later. But what we do know is that he became one who followed Jesus to Golgotha. Not because he chose to do it, not because he wanted to do it, not because he stepped forward when the soldiers said, "We need some help here." He followed Jesus. He carried this piece of the cross on his shoulders and he stepped in the steps of Jesus Christ to Golgotha. And once he went there, we don't know what he did. Did he return to Cyrene? Did he change? Was his experience changing him? Did he become a follower of Christ? Did he choose to remain in Jerusalem with the early church? We just don't know. But we can make a guess on what happened because of two other scriptures that we read about, not in the Gospels, but in the New Testament. In the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 13, Paul writes this: "Greet Rufus and his mother in the Lord. She has been a mother to me too." In the book of Acts, Luke writes this, in Acts 19, verse 33, "The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front, and they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before all the people." Could it be that these are Simon of Cyrene's sons? That have not just become followers of Jesus Christ, but who have become leaders in the Christian church, standing alongside the apostles, standing alongside Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Peter and James and Andrew and everyone else that we can think of. Could it be that Simon did more than just carry the cross of Jesus Christ, but that he became a follower of Jesus too? Maybe because of what he witnessed, maybe because of what he experienced in being so near to Jesus. Maybe it's from what he was told about Jesus. Or maybe he was part of the thousands that we read about in the book of Luke and others that saw Jesus following his resurrection. See, I think we can read the story of Simon this morning, and we can think about him more than just him being more than just the man who carried the cross of Jesus. I think his legacy can be more than just being one who was pulled out of a crowd and chosen to do something that he didn't want to do. See, because I think his life was changed through his encounter with Jesus Christ. If his sons are the ones that we read about in the book of Romans and the book of Acts, then his legacy extended beyond himself as he shared the gospel and as he helped his sons to understand not just what he had been part of, but what they witnessed and what God was doing through Jesus Christ. That his sons heard the gospel message. Not just heard it. I mean, they participated in it. They were witnesses to it. But that he helped them to understand of what they had seen and what they had been part of. You know, in one of the commentaries I was reading about this story and about these scriptures that refer to the sons of Simon, is one of the authors wrote about how common the name Simon was in records that they found from biblical times. It's a very common name in Hebrew, but of how unusual and rare Jewish people who were named Rufus and Alexander were. To where there are some that can almost look and say, we believe, without a doubt, that these are the men whose father carried the cross of Jesus Christ. See, our lives are changed by the way that we choose to carry the cross of Jesus. Our lives are changed by the way that we choose to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ who goes before us. Simon didn't have to lead, but he followed. And sometimes when we follow, it's not really by our choice. But see, here's the amazing thing about the grace and forgiveness and the way that God chooses to work in our lives is God works even when we're on a path that we don't even want to be on. Like He did with Simon. Simon didn't want to be walking down the streets of Jerusalem on that path that led to Golgotha. He wanted to be somewhere else. I'm sure of it. But see, God could even work in and through his life as he followed Jesus, not by his choice, but by the choice of a Roman soldier who, you know, there was no significance in that short of having someone carry the cross so that he didn't have to do it himself. I want to end this morning by showing you all something that is kind of cool. And I'm still researching this, and so if people find other things, you know, let me know. But outside Israel in Jerusalem, they found a tomb years ago that they think may have been associated with Simon of Cyrene. And this is a picture of an ossuary. There were, I think, 11 or 13 ossuaries in it. And one of significance that is significant because what it said is it says Alexander, son of Simon, on it. And so biblical scholars have gone back and are going back, and what they're finding or what some are thinking is that this may have been the tomb of Alexander, who was the son of Simon of Cyrene, who they've discovered. And we have this bone box, you know, because the Jews would bury a person in a cave, and then a year later, when their body had decomposed, they would put the bones in a box so that they could remember them and honor them, just like how we go to a cemetery today. Now, interestingly, that's where I was going to leave the message. And then this morning, I printed something from Biblical Archaeological Review, which I get. And actually, one of the people is saying maybe what it says instead of Alexander, son of Simon, is Alexander and Simon are both in this bone box. I don't know. If you want to read the article, I'd be happy to email it to you. But what I can say is that lives were changed on that journey to Golgotha all those years ago. And that lives continue to be changed by the gospel and by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Simon encountered Jesus and he followed in his footsteps. And I believe his life was changed. And so his legacy is not just that he carried the cross of Jesus Christ, but his legacy is that his sons embraced, heard, received the message of Jesus, and they chose to live in response to his grace. May that be our legacy with our children, with our grandchildren, with those that aren't even related to us biologically. May they be recipients of the grace that God has given us as we offer it to them in the way we live, and in the way we worship, and in the way we serve. Amen.